He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. For the last 40 days of Lent, we have been making our way to the cross and to the empty tomb of Jesus. We knew the destination and we knew what it was when we set out on this journey back last Ash Wednesday. So when we got to Good Friday a couple of days ago and we heard the word that Jesus Christ was crucified with the sin of the world on his shoulders, sad as that fact was, and knowing that it was our sin that did that to him, we already knew with certainty that he would be back again this morning and the word would be Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. We knew what was coming. So we weren't surprised this morning that the stone was rolled back and Christ's body wasn't found in the tomb. We knew that was coming and we're glad that it came. But it was no shock to us. Our situation today is so much different than the women and the men whom we just heard about in the Gospel of St. Luke, however. For them, Easter was a real surprise. The women were going to the tomb to anoint the dead body of Jesus. They fully expected to find his body right where they had laid him 3 days earlier. They weren't going to the tomb to see if Jesus had risen from the dead just as he said he would. We know what they're going to find. But they had no idea. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. My guess is they mentally processed every imaginable explanation. Did we come to the right place? Do we have the right tomb? Did this all really happen, or was it all just a bad dream? No, it had all really happened. And yes, they were in the right place. The only thing that made any sense at all was that somebody had taken his body. The possibility that Jesus had risen from the dead simply wasn't one of the multiple choices on their mental list to pick from. What God does through Jesus on Easter Sunday is so incredible that it's outside the parameters of human imagination. No matter how carefully we might add up the facts and weigh the evidence, we'd never come to the conclusion that the body of Jesus isn't in the tomb because God had raised him from the dead. And yet, what could be more important in all the world than to know that very fact? God has raised Jesus bodily from the dead. There are certain things that simply require the assistance of angels if anybody's ever going to get it. For example, Mary and Joseph would never have been able to figure out that God was entering the world through Mary's womb if an angel hadn't spelled it out for them. A teenage pregnant virgin was a real shocker. Still is. The only possible explanation on Joseph's list was adultery. And the only possible course of action was to put her away quietly. But God sent an angel to ensure that they understood what they needed to know. Same with the women at the tomb. They would never have figured out that God had raised Jesus from the dead in a bodily resurrection had not God sent the angels there to spell it out for them. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. So, just where were these angels? Just where were these angels when Caiaphas and Pontius Pilate needed a little heavenly insight of their own? Where were these heavenly messengers when Judas made his deal with the Sanhedrin? Where were these angels when the soldiers were flogging Jesus and nailing his hands and his feet to the cross? Where's an angel when you really need one? These same angels who visited Mary and Joseph, who were right there at his birth singing their great Gloria in Excelsis, who were there attending to him at the temptation with Satan in the wilderness, who had come to his side to comfort him when he was in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, where were they when he needed their help the most? They were nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. Or were they? As Jesus hung on the cross, those who were watching him suffer there felt the rumble of an earthquake. The text tells us it was an earthquake, and I must leave it at that. The Word of God has spoken. But you know what it felt like? The earth felt as if thousands upon thousands of these heavenly hosts, with faces ablaze in righteous indignation, mounted on their winged horses, pawing the sky, chomping at the bit for God to give them the signal to swoop down, come to rescue Jesus, and teach the world a little lesson about justice it would never recover from. But that wasn't to be. God looked down upon this man of sorrows and said to his angels, who love to do his will, stand back. Do not raise even a finger to help him. Don't even look upon him. And then God himself turned away. He must bear this burden alone. These women who came to the tomb had heard Jesus' sickening cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? They saw him breathe his last and die. They watched as he was taken down from the cross and buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And now, 3 days later, they took to the tomb spices and ointments that they had prepared to anoint his dead body for the long sleep of death. But now, his body wasn't there. And the only thought that they had was the thing that made sense, that this Jesus whom they loved, whom they thought might possibly be the Messiah, was after all nothing more than a forsaken man, and a God-forsaken man as well. But the angels weren't finished speaking yet. They had more to say. In fact, if you step back and look at the text, it seems as if the angels are shocked and surprised as well. Surprised that the women are shocked, that the body's not there. Didn't the women believe what Jesus had told them? Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise? How many times have we, like the women before us, heard the messengers of God tell us what he wants us to know so that we're not shocked, not afraid, not doubtful, but then it goes in one ear and out the other? Or what he tells us in his word doesn't line up really well with our experiences, and so we dump the word. Or it's not what we want to hear, so we write it off. Or we hear it, sure enough, and we have every intention of remembering it, but then with all the disruptions and distractions of this life and the demands that draw us away, we quickly forget. And that's why we need to be reminded too, over and over again, to help us remember. And they remembered these words and returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And as they did, the shock of Easter began to settle in. A new possibility they had never considered came into play. What they had never considered was that all of this was just as he had said. It all happened just as he had told them it would. He had known all along how it was going to go. He'd known all along what the outcome was going to be. The women are shocked. The angels are shocked at the women. But Jesus is never shocked. Jesus had known all of this from before the creation of the world. In fact, he'd written the script for how it would go for him. And the script has been published and printed and bound into a book. So now, if you want to understand these things too, you don't have to wait for an angel to come and explain them to you. You can buy the script. You can read the scriptures. The women remembered his words and returned from the tomb, and they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. But the disciples, they considered the women's story a real shocker as well. It seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe it. But Peter being a man of action, always a man of action, wasn't simply going to contemplate such strange things. When Jesus was transfigured, Peter just had to build something. When Jesus was arrested, Peter just had to cut something. And now, at the word that Jesus' body was missing, Peter just had to run somewhere. And he ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Linen cloths by themselves. When have we ever run across linen cloths before? The shepherds in the fields were directed to the stable where they would be able to identify the newborn king by the swaddling cloths he was wrapped in. And now Peter is directed to a tomb where he would recognize Jesus' resurrection by the burial cloth he was not wrapped in. And Peter went home, much like the shepherds, marveling at what had happened. Easter's a real shocker, all the way around. And here's what's shocking. Finding life where all you expected to find is death. It's the shock of Adam and Eve before God in the garden experiencing death because they had eaten what God had said, in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. They were expecting death, but they got the promise of life. The promise that Eve's offspring would crush the head of the serpent. It's the shock of Isaac, who with eyes closed and teeth clenched, waited for the knife in his father's hand to plunge across his outstretched neck, only to hear an angel call a halt to his death and supply a ram in his place. It's the shock of Israel, hemmed in by the Red Sea with the fear of death bearing down on them in Pharaoh's chariots, only to see the sea open up before their eyes and they cross from death to life on dry ground. It's the shock of Saul and his army expecting death at the hands of Goliath, only to be delivered by the hands of a boy named David, armed with 5 smooth stones and the name of the Lord. It's the shock of Jonah in the belly of the great fish for 3 days, expecting death, only to be vomited up onto dry land and told to get on with his life. It's the shock of the widow of Nain, escorting the dead body of her only son to the grave, only to be intercepted by Jesus, who says, "Young man, I say to you, get up." And he does. It's the shock of Mary and Martha at the tomb of their brother Lazarus, expecting to choke on the stench of his decomposing flesh, only to see their brother walk out of the tomb and ask for lunch. All these are the before shocks of Easter that ripple all the way back to the beginning. And now, ever since the violent rumblings of the earthquakes on Good Friday and Easter Sunday morning, we feel the aftershocks of Easter. And one day, it will be a real shocker for you too. I wish I had something cute and quaint, like many preachers do today, to tell you this morning, like Easter. Easter is about fresh starts. Easter is about new beginnings, eggs, chicks, and Easter bunnies. Easter is about second chances, folks, mulligans and do-overs. Easter is about new days, each new day of your life. I wish I could tell you that, but I can't. I can't, first, because it's not true. And second, because really, all of the new beginnings and the fresh new starts we get in this life, they all end up being only false starts and dead ends on the way to our deaths at the end of life anyway. So I don't have anything quaint to tell you this Easter morning. I have something true. One day, you will breathe your last and close your eyes in death, and you will be laid in a grave. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I have to remind you of that this beautiful spring morning. You will be laid in a grave, only to be raised up to new life, the likes of which this world has seen only once, where you will open the very eyes you're looking through right now, and with your very nose, breathe in the fresh air of the new heaven and the new earth. For Christ is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. All those who die in Christ are raised with Christ, never to die again. The shock of Easter is this, that even while we were dead in sin, in the holy waters of baptism, our Lord's water-soaked word, in that water, God made us alive in Christ Jesus. Remember how He told you that in your baptism you died with Christ? And that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you too will live a new life? Remember how He told you that if you have been united with Him in a death like His, you will be also united with Him in a resurrection like His? Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. And someday, the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven will use your name to announce that you have risen. And no one will be shocked, for all the saints and angels in heaven understand that Christ died and was raised from the dead for just this purpose, just as He said, to raise you to eternal life too. In the name of Jesus, amen.